I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. The musical Chicago opens at the Fox tonight for a short run. Starring is Billy Flynn, actor John O'Hurley, known for his role as Jay Peterman on Seinfeld and as the former host of TV's Family Feud. John Hurley joins us a little later, and we'll also meet artist Rashid Johnson, whose paintings, sculptures, and conceptual pieces explain black identity. And finally, Grumpy Cat, an internet celebrity. Just this week, St. Louis-based Nestle Purina announced an endorsement deal with the feline, who has more than 111,000 followers on Twitter. But first, tonight the St. Louis Symphony opens its 134th season at Powell Hall, running through May 11th of next year. Highlights of the season include another recording, a return to Carnegie Hall, and the season is also the fourth year that St. Louis Public Radio will carry live broadcasts of the symphony on Saturday nights. Music director David Robertson will be at the podium tonight and through the weekend. He's here now for a preview of that and a look ahead at the new season. Hi, David. Welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, first, I want to ask you if you had a productive and satisfying off-season, if you can call it that.
No, I don't actually have an off-season. I wish I did.
So it was productive, though.
It was very productive.
I
managed to get four different continents in, during that period of time. So between Asia and Europe. I guess I'm counting Asia and Europe as two separate continents, and they really are connected. You know, they bumped into each other quite a long time ago and are still connected. No, I was doing lots of summer festivals and travel with the family, and so it was a busy time. I got to see a number of the St. Louis musicians who also in the summer do anything but keep their instruments in the case. And
right.
So there were some at Aspen, Colorado, and some in Sun Valley, and actually a number of others who were even, you know, going as far afield as the Pacific Music Festival in Japan. So it's been a busy summer for all of us.
Busy for everybody. Well, tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon, you'll be at Powell Hall to open the season. Tell me about that.
Well, we've got a program of two American classics, and one of them, Ives' Three Places in New England, looks at three different aspects of New England life. One is transcendental and really, you know, takes a small, tiny river and expands it into the great ocean. And then another is looking at the whole festivities surrounding the 4th of July through a child's eyes and dreaming of Putnam's Camp and all of the sort of difficulties that the founding fathers went through to try and get the country all organized, starting with the soldiers, and has a couple of fireworks going off in the wrong place, and it's a great deal of fun. And the first movement is actually the St. Gaudens Monument in Boston Commons, which has the Colonel Shaw and his all-African-American regiment in a memorial plaque. And it's very beautiful how St. Gaudens has made this monument, where you see the faces of the troops as they sort of gradually fade into the bronze. It's an extraordinarily moving thing. And Charles Ives, the American composer, conjures this very well. And we connect this then with Lincoln Portrait of Aaron Copland. And Whitney Phipps is doing the presentation of that. And this should be a case of really being able to hear in this anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, of the March on Washington, and the Gettysburg Address, to really hear how this message continues to resonate through time for all of us. And then to finish the program, we have what might look a little bit strange, but also has a very close New England connection. Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto with the soloist Kirill Gerstein, who's a St. Louis favorite, he will be performing this work, and while Tchaikovsky isn't something you would necessarily associate with New England, it was actually performed for the first time in Boston by Hans von Bülow before it was performed in Europe, and was embraced by them, and I think was performed in New England because there was this sense that in America you could do anything, and there had been people who said this piano concerto doesn't make any sense, and of course we've come to love it as one of the great works of the repertoire.
So that gets the season started this weekend. A couple of highlights I want to ask you about, exciting things, another recording.
That's right.
This year.
We're doing another recording. We started this recording last season when we performed John Adams' City Noir for orchestra, and we're concluding it with the companion piece, which will be on the album, which is his saxophone concerto. And that's just had its world premiere in Australia this summer. Its American premiere is with Maren Alsop and the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, but we in St. Louis are lucky enough to do the definitive recording of the piece, which will be on Nonesuch Records coming out in the spring, I believe.
And this will be a premiere for St. Louis, I understand.
Absolutely, it will. First time here. But at the same time, I'm not too worried because, you know, we have a huge amount of John Adams groupies here in St. Louis, and they really love his music. And, of course, he's on record as saying that he thinks that the St. Louis Band is just one of the top orchestras on the list of world orchestras. So we're very happy to be able to make this work.
Another trip to Carnegie Hall.
That's right. And this one is quite special. We're celebrating 100 years of Benjamin Britten, the British composer, probably most famous to a lot of people for The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. But his most well-known opera, and really a kind of watershed work in 20th century opera, is the opera Peter Grimes. And we have the wonderful distinction of being able to play it in Carnegie Hall after having performed it here in St. Louis on the actual 100th anniversary to the day of his birthday. So that's a great way for us to celebrate and actually brings a certain amount of international renown to St. Louis.
And I might make note that St. Louis Public Radio will be broadcasting that Saturday, November the 16th.
That's right. That's
before you go to Carnegie
Hall. Before we go to Carnegie Hall. So that's like a pre-birthday party.
Then next month at your annual Red Velvet Ball and the return of cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
That's right. Yo-Yo is a great friend of the orchestra, and we've missed him. And the idea of being able to have him come back and play a couple of things on the program is something that we're really looking forward to. He's always such an incredible sort of burst of sunshine in any concert season. And the last time he was here, he lit the place up, and so we're looking forward to that same sort of thing again.
We're talking with David Robertson, the music director for the St. Louis Symphony. And David, four new members will be introduced this year. And one of those slots has been vacant for two or three seasons at least, I guess. The trumpeter, the principal.
That's right.
By Susan Slaughter, who retired a few years ago.
Yeah, because one of the things is that people come in and then they become legends over time. And it's very hard for an orchestra to find someone where you feel, okay, this is now our next legend. And Karen Bliznick is someone whom I had worked with before. We actually brought in a number of players. Sometimes this is done for very high-level positions like this, where you've had a couple of auditions and you haven't found anyone where you feel the fit is right. And so then you bring in a number of really fine players who may already have important positions in other places so that they can actually meet the orchestra. And there's this question, because any relationship like this, you want to make sure that it works both ways.
Because it's going to last, probably.
Well, that you really love the person and that they really love you. And the chemistry was just great. And you still have an audition. But in her audition, the way that she played and when we got our players with her on stage and I said, could you do a little bit like this? It was just gorgeous. And I've worked with her before at the Santa Fe Opera and, you know, many of the colleagues have worked with her before. So we couldn't be more delighted.
And three others?
Yes, we have an extraordinary timpani player, Shannon Wood, who's also a composer as well as an instrumentalist. He's an amazing musician. And similar type of thing, when he was with us in the audition, there was a quickness to his reactions and a beauty to his sound, which was just amazing, which we all fell for and fell in love with. And so the idea of having him as the real heartbeat of the orchestra is something tremendous. Then there's Allegra Lilly, our harp player. Francis Tietov was with us for 40 years. And to try and find somebody, thing is, you can never replace people. Mm-hmm. At the same time, what happens is that you gain a new richness by having these people who come in. And Allegra has a sound and a beauty that people will really be able to appreciate. Apparently, as a kind of sideline, as a side story, 40 years ago when Francis first played with the orchestra under Walter Suskind, there was a huge harp solo piece on her first program, which was Vyshehrad, which is the castle from Smetana's series of My Fatherland. And we're purely by chance doing the same piece. And so Allegra is going to play this at the beginning of her career with the orchestra, which we hope will be, you know, at least 40 years or more.
At least, yeah.
And then we have Anne Schumach, who is on the piccolo. And this is another position where we've been really trying to find the right fit. And we had one of those situations where, piccolo down, where all of a sudden you're walking on stage and the instrument breaks, and so somebody else finds a piccolo. And you have to understand that on the piccolo, because it's so small, even though it has these keys, one note might have, oh, on a conservative estimate, 435 different fingerings. So it's really tricky to pick up somebody else's instrument. And it was great. She played really beautifully. And this was a piece by Brahms that had very, very sinuous and delicate piccolo lines that were very exposed. And it was just as good as always. And it was only when I came off stage that they said, oh, by the way, her piccolo broke. She was playing that on an instrument she'd never played before. And that's the kind of thing we like in St. Louis, that ability to defy all the odds.
Well, we welcome the four of them and look forward to getting to know them. You know, you won't believe this. The other day, believe it or not, I did see a Christmas commercial on TV. I wasn't too happy about it, but the holiday season will be here before you know it, and you're doing some interesting things. In fact, you in particular will be involved in one of the concerts.
That's right, and I try never to keep track of how many shopping days there are until Christmas, just because it adds that extra layer of panic. You know, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that we get past the turkeys,
right.
And then, you know, and costumes and turkeys, and then I'll turn my thoughts to that. But if you're buying tickets, it's not a bad idea to get those stocking stuffers early.
Good point.
And we've got a lot of things at the St. Louis Symphony. One of the concerts that I'm most looking forward to is the return of John Williams. We're doing several performances of all of the music from his films, a selection of various different titles, which will be kept under wraps. They're going to be, you know, the classics. There'll be Star Wars. And because of the anniversary, we're doing JFK and a number of different things like that. But it's going to be a tremendously fun way to close the calendar year.
Well, looking ahead just briefly, Beethoven in January.
We've got a number of weeks where we decided to take some of Beethoven's most famous and well-known works and, you know, put them in a room with some other works, whether they're, you know, other people who've written Fifth Symphonies or whether they're other people who are looking at the notion of concerto or whether they're people who are looking at the notion of the composer as performer, all of these different ways of looking at, you know, one of the major kind of bedrock composers of classical music.
And any exciting new soloists, new music that you'd like to mention?
We do. We actually have, you know, one of the things that's a tremendous delight for me is that this is such a sweet orchestra that you can sometimes get amazing soloists to get out of their comfort zone. And we have the soprano Carita Mattila, who is one of the world's most famous sopranos at the moment, dramatic soprano. She sings all over, and there's a tremendously expressive work called Expectation, Erwartung in German, by the Austrian composer Schoenberg. And this is like a real Freudian descent into the mind of a woman who is in the throes of a relationship full of jealousy. It's a really hard work to bring off. It's an absolute tour de force. And the last time she was here with us, she said, oh, I so love this orchestra. And I said, well, would you like to do Erwartung with us? And she thought about it and looked at the score, and she said, oh, I would love to. So she's coming to do that with us for the very first time.
Well, there's a lot of things we don't even have time to get to. So let me remind our audience that if they'd like more on the schedule, the season for the St. Louis Symphony, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to your website. People can find out more about that. The St. Louis Symphony opens its new season tonight with performances tomorrow night, which will also be broadcast here on St. Louis Public Radio, and then Sunday afternoon at 3. And just briefly, too, in a few weeks, you have a premiere at the Met?
That's right. I'm going to be doing Nico Muhly's Two Boys, which is the American premiere of the opera. He'd first had its first performance in London at the English National Opera, and he's revised a number of things in it, and so we're doing an all-new production there at the Met. This is a really fascinating story about what it's like in the age of the Internet. It's actually based on a true story in Great Britain that happened where a young man put himself forward on the Internet as several other different people in order to convince another boy to commit a crime. And so the whole opera takes place almost as kind of like a Law and Order SVU story, which is absolutely fascinating.
Well, David, every year when you drop by to do this, I'd never let you leave without asking for an update on Orly and the Kids.
Well, I was just going to say, it's hard to believe that this is the 134th season, because I remember when that orchestra was still just 126. And it's the same thing. Alex and Nathan just had their sixth birthday.
The twins, does that mean first grade?
Yeah. And it was a Star Wars birthday party, so we had the actual, you know, Jedi Society people in teach proper lightsaber technique made with pool noodles. And then we also had everybody dressed up. So Orly had the buns of Leia on her head in a wig, which was, it turned out, was quite hot. And I was dressed as Han Solo. So look for those pictures on Facebook.
We certainly will. David Robertson, the St. Louis Symphony opens their new season tonight. Thanks again. We enjoyed the partnership with the radio station and the symphony.
Likewise.
And we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you very much.
Coming up next on Cityscape, actor John O'Hurley on his role as Billy Flynn in Chicago, and later, the Black experience through the eyes of artist Rashid Johnson. This is St. Louis Public Radio.